You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Welcome to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural with the Natural Healing Show.
Hello, you are listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author. You can find out more about me and my work at CatherineKerrigan.com and UnlimitedEnergyNow.com. While you're there, definitely sign up for my newsletter so you can learn even more about how you can heal yourself naturally. Now, our guest today is Beverly Engel. Beverly Engel is a psychotherapist and prolific author. We're going to be talking with her today about her 28th book, which is called Put Your Past in the Past. You can find out more about Beverly Engel and her wonderful work at her website, beverlyengel.com. Welcome, Beverly Engel.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So, Beverly Engel, you have published or about to publish your 28th book, Put Your Past in the Past. Why did you write this book?
Well, I found that so many of my clients are repeating unhealthy patterns. They're getting involved with the same type of a relationship where there's a problem, whether it's their partner's abusive, their partner's unavailable, abandoning, maybe alcoholic, maybe a drug addict. And, you know, as much as they keep getting healthier and working on themselves, they continue these patterns. So I wanted to really zoom in on that and help them with these patterns.
And I'm sure that most of us who are listening to this broadcast can absolutely relate to what we're saying, is that, you know, same guy, same woman, different suit, right?
Right.
So why do we develop a pattern of getting involved with the same type of troublesome partner over and over?
Well, Freud called it the repetition compulsion. It's an unconscious compulsion to revisit the past to try to undo it or to get a different result. We're not aware that we're doing it. For example, if your father abandoned you when you were 7 years old, when you grow up, you may be very attracted to men who are unavailable, who push you away, or who reject you in some way. And it's your attempt, your unconscious attempt, to try to go back in the past and redo what happened. You want to get this guy to love you the way your father didn't love you. You want to get this guy to pay attention to you the way your father didn't pay attention to you. So that's just one example.
So great information. Now, if we realize that we're doing a repetition compulsion in our relationships, how do we stop ourselves?
Well, we need to discover what trauma we're reenacting. People reenact things all the time, but trauma victims are really good at reenacting. They're really honing in on trying again unconsciously to take away the trauma. They want to either understand the trauma or to assimilate or to somehow heal the trauma by reenacting it. Okay, so they again go back into the same pattern of being with the same kind of person that caused their major trauma. So if your mother caused your major trauma because she neglected you, you'll get involved with a partner who neglected you. If your father physically abused you, you'll probably get involved with a man who beat you up. If if you were sexually abused, you won't necessarily get involved with a person who sexually abuses you, but maybe somebody who is like sexually demanding, or maybe he turns out to be a sex addict and you didn't know it, or maybe he's addicted to porn, but in some way he's going to be, symbolic of what happened to you.
Now, Beverly Engel, the author of Put Your Past in the Past, what exactly is a traumatic reenactment?
It's again going back, revisiting your past in an attempt to redo it or undo it. Okay. We're instead of consciously working on the trauma, which we need to do, and we'll talk about that, we're unconsciously working on remembering it, maybe. Maybe we have a lot of shame about it and we blame ourselves and we're reenacting it to somehow heal the shame. And some people don't remember their traumas, but they reenact them nevertheless. So the trauma or the reenactment is really telling them what happened. The reenactment, if you are reenacting, the past, and but you're not exactly sure, or if you have a pattern of repeating a kind of a scenario, but you're not really sure what happened, that reenactment can really tell you what happened, okay, by who you choose to get involved with.
Wow, fascinating. Now, what is the purpose of traumatic reenactments? Because I think many of us who are doing this, we'd be doing this unconsciously. Like we don't want to go back into the pain and suffering. Why are we doing this?
We're doing it to either understand it, to heal it, to maybe stop blaming ourselves, to realize that we were a victim. A lot of people don't want to admit that they were victimized, especially men. Men don't like to understand or to even feel that they were victimized. Men are raised in this culture to never be re-victimized or victimized. They're supposed to stand up for themselves. They're supposed to push away anybody who tries to hurt them. And so when a male child is victimized, he's very likely to repress that memory and not want to remember it, or he minimizes it, or he blames himself. So the reenactment is to really face, it's all about facing the truth of what really happened.
So, Beverly Engel, you brought up a really important point because so many of us do not want to see ourselves as victims. We recognize that seeing ourselves as a victim is a helpless, hopeless situation. And
Right.
yet then we go about suppressing or repressing what's actually happened to us. So many of us don't want to see ourselves as victims. How can we honor what has happened to us in a healthy way?
Well, by actually allowing ourselves to remember it, and then to either talk about it with someone. Talk to a therapist or tell your story to a friend. I encourage journal writing and a writing of any kind where you write your story down. And I especially encourage people to go into the emotions that they probably have been denying and really allow themselves to feel their emotions, whether it's anger or fear or sadness or shame. They really need to allow themselves to have the feelings that maybe they didn't allow themselves to feel at the time of the trauma.
Now, again, going back to that victim archetype that so many of us avoid, why is it important as an adult to stop seeing ourselves as a victim?
Well, because if we see ourselves as a victim, we'll continue to get into situations where we are victimized. Okay. We'll continue to choose abusive partners, or we will continue to not be able to stand up for ourselves. We won't have clear boundaries where we tell people, no, I'm not doing that. We'll put ourselves in dangerous situations. We'll feel helpless and hopeless and not fight off anybody or not stand up for ourselves.
So great information. Now, from my perspective as a medical intuitive healer, Beverly Engel, whenever we are playing the role of victim, which is one of the primary human archetypes, we're not showing up as our true authentic self.
Right.
And so when you realize that if I'm being in my victim and I'm seeing myself as a victim, then I'm not showing up as my true authentic self and I'm not in my personal power. So often I love that you talk about journaling, because if we can look at what has happened in our life from the point of view of our true authentic self, then we can begin to ask ourselves important questions, such as, why did I attract this situation? Why did I create this situation, or why did I recreate this situation?
Right.
And then when we come from our true authentic self, then we can begin to make different choices.
Yes, that's right.
Now, is it true that those who were victimized as a child or teenager tend to be re-victimized in later life?
Absolutely. There's lots of research that says that those who were victimized as a child are going to be re-victimized, or that's very likely. This is true mostly with child sexual abuse. With child sexual abuse, it's actually twice as likely that the person is going to be re-victimized as an adult. That can be any kind of victimization, especially intimate partner abuse, or, you know, some kind of a sexual abuse, sexual trauma.
And why is this the case?
There's lots of reasons. Someone who has been sexually abused or raped as a teenager, they're going to feel helpless and hopeless. They're not going to be able to stand up for themselves. They're going to have poor boundaries, but they also have low self-esteem and a poor body image. And they kind of have the belief that they have to kind of take what they can get. So they'll get involved with you know, inappropriate partners, or if a man comes onto them, they kind of take what they can get. They feel like nobody's going to want them, so they'll put themselves in dangerous situations. Victims of childhood sexual abuse or rape will often freeze when somebody approaches them. Mm-hmm. They're triggered into the memory of what happened before, and they'll actually freeze and not be able to stand up for themselves. Victims of sexual abuse and all kinds of abuse tend to have alcohol and drug problems. They tend to not kind of watch what's happening around them and be careful. So there's lots and lots of reasons why they are re-victimized. Excuse me.
So Beverly Engel, if someone is listening to this broadcast and they recall having been abused as a child or as a teenager, whether it's sexual abuse or some other form of abuse, and for our audience, I want to point out, I made an entire broadcast on how to tell if you're being abused. And I talked about the wheel of power and control and the many different ways that people, a person can abuse you. Sexual abuse is but one of many methods. Physical abuse is one of many methods. Emotional abuse, verbal abuse, using money, minimizing, ghosting. So there's many ways that we can be abused. So if someone is listening to this broadcast and we recognize, okay, I've been abused in the past, how can we go about unwinding those patterns so that we don't recreate those situations in future relationships?
Well, we have to make the connection first. We have to remember the trauma, go back to the trauma, remember it, and figure out what's unfinished about that for themselves. Is it because they never were able to stand up to the abuser, like a parent? If they have unfinished business with a parent, it might be really important to go back and talk to the parent. Now, this is very difficult at times. I don't recommend it with somebody who's dangerous. You're not going to confront a dangerous parent. But if it's a case of neglect or abandonment, going back to a parent and telling them how much that affected you can be very empowering. And there's parameters, there's ways that you can do it. But going back and completing the unfinished business, maybe you can't do it in person. Maybe you need to do it in a letter that you don't send. The idea is that you get the feelings out. You express how you felt, how it affected you. You know, you tell them about what they did to you. So finishing unfinished business is really important. Going into the feelings, going deeply into your emotions, asking yourself, for example, what's my primary emotion related to the trauma? Is it anger? Is it fear? Is it shame? We know that all trauma victims, all victims of any kind of abuse, suffer from a great deal of shame. And so it's important to identify that shame, identify it in your body, identify it in your being, because shame can make us do all kinds of dangerous and unhealthy things. When we have shame, we tend to not believe that we deserve good things. We will sabotage ourselves because we don't think we deserve it. We don't think we're worthy of a partner who will love us. We don't think we're worthy of a good relationship. We may even feel like we shouldn't do better than our parents. That's another one that's interesting, that we shouldn't do better than our parents financially, or maybe your mother had man after man after man in her life, and she never found anybody who loved her. And you ended up getting a really good guy right off the bat. And he loves you and you're in a good relationship. You may even feel guilty about that because your mother didn't have it. So it's interesting what guilt and shame can do. So express finding those feelings, finding them in your body, and then expressing them either physically or writing them down or talking about them, creating something, making a painting, a sculpture that expresses your feelings about your trauma. There's all kinds of ways of expressing that trauma.
Now, Beverly Engel, I want to go back to something that you said earlier in response to my last question, because you said that one healthy step could be, if, for example, if you were abused by a parent, going back to that parent and expressing how much that hurt. And I want to point out for our audience, normal people do not abuse other people. I'll say that again. Normal people. Normal, healthy, emotionally healthy, mentally healthy people do not abuse others. And so I just have a question about whether or not, if you go back to an abuser who by definition is not going to be mentally, emotionally healthy, how you can expect to have a compassionate, kind response.
Yeah. Well, you shouldn't set yourself up for a compassionate, kind response. Like I said, it's kind of complicated when you talk about confronting. You don't want to confront someone who's dangerous. And your point in confronting is not to change the other person. It's not to even cause them to feel compassion or kindness toward you. It's for you. It's for a release in you to be able to stand up to someone who abused you and tell them that it wasn't right and that it affected you in these ways. You shouldn't go into it expecting anything from the abusive person. No understanding, no kindness. And you should be careful who you choose. If the person was dangerous then and they still tend to be dangerous, don't confront them. You only do it when it's safe and with no expectations whatsoever of what you're going to get out of it from them. It's for you totally. It's just for you to express it.
So for you to say to that person, you hurt me and this is how I felt.
Mm-hmm. This is how it affected me.
Right. Okay. So let's say someone goes back to their abuser who, again, by definition is not an emotionally, mentally healthy person. What kind of response can they logically expect to receive?
Usually denial. And often the abusive person, we talk about them, you're saying they're unhealthy. Yes, they're unhealthy, but they may not have intentionally hurt you. Okay, there needs to be a distinction between intentionally hurting you, like a physical abuser who intentionally wanted to cause you pain, okay, and a person who maybe emotionally abused you. They didn't even realize they were emotionally abusing you, and they didn't, and their intention was not to hurt you. So for that person, if you go back and you tell that person, they may say, "I didn't know. I didn't realize it." That, you know, they may even apologize. Again, don't go in expecting it, because it's rare. But somebody who hurt you unintentionally may be able to say, "I didn't realize that was hurting you. I'm sorry." Okay, that's the optimum. If somebody sexually abused you, they knew what they were doing. Okay, even if they tell you, "Well, I was drunk. You know, I back in those days, I was drinking all the time. I was probably in a blackout." Maybe they were, but they're still responsible for what they did. And they do know what they did. Don't let them fool you. Okay. So you need to make a distinction between somebody who inadvertently hurt you, didn't do it consciously. Okay. And someone who consciously was trying to hurt you.
And with that, let's take a break and listen to a message from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one bestselling author. We're listening to psychotherapist Beverly Engel discuss her 28th book, Put Your Past in the Past. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Beverly Engel, you and I both know that healing from abuse is a multi-layered unwinding.
Yes.
Of possibly decades of deep hurt. And one of the wisest things I ever read one time about abuse is that when a child has been abused, it's often easier for the child to come to the conclusion, hey, there must be something wrong with me. And I'm unlovable, I'm broken, I'm wrong, I'm bad, to come to those unfortunate conclusions, then to realize, hey, mom or dad who abused me actually didn't love me. So why is it, in your professional opinion, do we often treat ourselves in the same ways that we were mistreated or neglected in childhood?
Well, we're used to it. That's the obvious answer. But the deeper answer is usually it's about shame. Like I mentioned, when you're feeling shame, and all abuse victims are inundated with shame for one reason or another. When you're just overloaded with shame, you don't believe you deserve to be treated well. You don't even consider your body as precious. You don't want to take care of your body because maybe you hate your body. You were sexually abused, it was mistreated, or you were beaten. You don't like your body, so you don't take care of it. You were neglected growing up. You didn't get baths or weren't taught to. I wasn't even taught to brush my teeth by my mother. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you grow up not being encouraged to take care of your body, that's a major, major problem. We need to learn to love our bodies and to see them as precious and want to keep them clean and want to keep them healthy. But if you never were treated that way, if your body was never respected, if your body was never cared for, you're not even going to know how to do that. And you don't feel that your body deserves it. So it's about shame. It's about getting to the place where you acknowledge that you deserve to take care of yourself. You deserve to take care of your body, especially. If we're used to being neglected, we will neglect ourselves as well.
So great explanation. So what you and I are both saying is that if someone has a history of being abused in any manner, often the individual internalizes the abuse.
Yes.
So that when the abuser is no longer there to hit you, rape you, put you down, steal your money, etc., that you then do those behaviors to yourself.
Yes, yes.
So it's a matter of unwinding these deep patterns.
Absolutely.
Now, in your book, Put Your Past in the Past, you talk about two kinds of reenactments. What is an adaptive reenactment and what is a maladaptive reenactment?
An adaptive reenactment is when you continue the abuse, but you're trying to adapt to it. You're trying to heal from it. So a good example of a good way to adapt to the trauma would be if you determine that you're going to be a better parent than your parent ever was. Mm-hmm. You're going to read parenting books. You're going to go to therapy. You're going to work on yourself so that you don't make the same mistakes as your parents. That's a positive reenactment. Okay. Adaptive reenactment. Or maybe you decide, you know, you're going to be a social worker so that you can work with neglected or abused children. That's a positive way of reenacting. A maladaptive way of reenacting is if you were sexually abused and you grow up to be a prostitute. Mm-hmm. Okay. You're reenacting the trauma, but you're doing it in a very negative way. You know, you're a prostitute or a stripper. I can't tell you how many prostitutes and strippers I've had as clients because they were sexually abused. And they will fight you on it. When you say, do you realize you're reenacting your abuse? They will fight you on it. And they will say, no, I'm the one who's in control now. I'm the one who's telling the Johns, or I'm the one who's telling the guys what to do. I'm in control. Well, unfortunately, they're fooling themselves because they're not in control at all.
I'm so glad, Beverly Engel, that you brought up the sex worker industry. In your professional opinion, the sex workers, what percent of them do you think have had a history of sexual abuse?
Well, we used to be able to say about 90%, but people are kind of fighting us on this idea. They're saying that women have a right to be a sex worker. You know, the only exception I would say to why somebody becomes a sex worker who wasn't sexually abused would be if they're in a very poor country like Thailand or India, mm-hmm. and they have no choice but to be a prostitute. They weren't necessarily sexually abused. They probably were, but they weren't necessarily. It's the only way they can find to make money. And I will allow for that. I will say that there are some people in poor countries, not here, not in the United States, who don't have hardly any other choice. You know, women don't have any other choice in some countries but to sell their bodies. So they weren't necessarily sexually abused, but they clearly are being sexually traumatized now. They're being sexually mistreated now, even though they may think that they're in the control of what's happening.
Now, Beverly Engel, psychotherapist, why is it so important for human beings to process past trauma?
If we don't process it, it's going to affect our behavior in ways that we don't even realize. It's like walking around the world unconscious. For example, people who were traumatized growing up very often dissociate. Dissociation is when you, like if you were sexually abused, people describe it as leaving their body and going up into the air and actually being able to maybe look down at themselves, being sexually abused. It's a defense mechanism. It helps us in traumatic situations to survive the situation. If we're not in our body, it's not as painful, okay? So we dissociate. Unfortunately, people who are traumatized get in the habit of dissociating even when they're not being traumatized. They dissociate if they're startled. They dissociate if they're triggered in some other way. And they kind of walk through the world dissociated. I can't tell you how many clients I can just tell by looking at them that they're dissociated, that they just walk around the world like that. Well, you're not safe if you're dissociated. You're not safe walking around the world if you're kind of half here and half there. So one of the things that one benefit of working through your trauma and processing the feelings is that it brings you into the present, and it gives you the opportunity to work through the trauma without re-traumatizing yourself too much. Okay. So you learn how to ground yourself. You put your feet on the ground. You clear your eyes, you take deep breaths, and you bring yourself back to the present. And people will report that they feel so much better being in the present than they did. They didn't even realize how often they were gone. So they bring themselves back. And once they get in the habit of being here in the present, they can work through their emotions better.
So great explanation. And I'm going to absolutely butcher this quote from Freud, but Sigmund Freud said, unexpressed emotions never die. They just show up in uglier ways.
Right, exactly. And
even as a medical intuitive healer, whenever one of the things that we have to understand is behind literally every dis-ease or illness you have is some kind of unresolved emotion.
Yes.
And one of the things that I'm always pointing out to my clients, and this is my understanding, whenever you have an emotion, you're usually conscious of it for about 6 days. But when you don't fully resolve that emotion, after 20 days, it gets stuck in your body. And this is literally all your chronic illness. So whenever I have a client who has a chronic illness, such as fibromyalgia is a, you know, case in point, fibromyalgia is stuck energy, where it's congested energy and a huge amount of unresolved emotional garbage, right? So I would say one of the most important reasons to resolve past trauma is to so that you don't get sick.
Yes.
And anyone with a serious illness like cancer, for example, there's a huge amount of unresolved emotions that go along with that. And
yes.
People who think that healing is just a matter of taking a bunch of drugs or a bunch of herbs, they're missing 90% of the picture, right?
Yes, yes.
Because we have to understand that dis-ease begins in the energy field. It begins at the soul, in the mind, in the emotions, in the energy, and then comes into the physical. And then we have to heal by pressing, resolving it and pushing it out all the way through the field, right?
Yes, yes.
So can you give examples of clients that you've worked with who had maybe some sort of chronic illness where the illness resolved when they resolved the emotion?
Oh, sure. A lot of my clients will go to receive some body work, whether it's, you know, there's all different kinds. And what happens when they're like lying on the massage table and somebody's doing some work on their body is that they often will remember a trauma. Okay. And I had one client who always had intense pain in her stomach, and she didn't know what it was about. And she went to doctors and took herbal medicine and all kinds of stuff. But one time when she was on the massage table and the body worker touched her stomach with the flat of their hand and placed their hand on just the flat of their hand on the stomach for a while, and they were breathing. And just asking the client to breathe with them, the client had a memory come up. And the memory was her older brother used to harass her all the time. And he often kicked her. And a couple of times he kicked her in the stomach really, really hard. And she had that memory. She had never remembered that her brother was a bully. She never remembered any abuse from him. And she had never remembered this horrible kick in her stomach, but the memory came up, and she and the body worker were able to soothe her and let her cry. You know, she cried on the massage table. She turned on her side and cried. The worker just let her cry and soothed her, you know, gently touched her back, you know, soothed her and was present with her. And after that session, she never had any pain in her stomach again. She had the memory. She let herself have the feelings associated. She was soothed. She was, you know, comforted. And she was fine after that.
Great story. And I will say, in my 31 years experience in natural healing, I've helped people resolve many chronic illnesses, like chronic fatigue, like fibromyalgia, by resolving the deep emotional traumas that underlay their physical illness.
Yes.
Let's take a break and listen to a message from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer. We're listening to Beverly Ingle talk about her 28th book, Put Your Past in the Past. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Beverly Engel, what are some of the important and most effective ways to process trauma in your professional experience?
Well, I mentioned talking to somebody, telling somebody your story. There's lots of research that tells us that this is very healing. Being abused, when you're abused, you feel very alone. When you're neglected, you feel very alone. Again, most victims take on the blame, like you mentioned. They blame themselves for it. You know, my mother wouldn't have hit me if I hadn't have done so-and-so, you know. My father wouldn't have done so and so if I hadn't caused it. So they have a lot of self-blame. So telling their story to a compassionate listener, somebody who will just listen and be there for them, can be very healing. Okay. Journaling, as we mentioned, can be very healing. There's lots of research about that. It, you know, it's in one aspect of it is you're finding your voice. If you never had your voice, if you never were able to speak up, you know, writing in a journal can help you find your voice. And then processing your emotions, as we talked about, going deep into whatever emotions were surrounding the abuse. And learning to be, you know, learning to step out of the victim role. I have an exercise where I help people to say no, just learning how to say no. I have them just start saying no quietly. And some people are super uncomfortable just saying no quietly to themselves. So they start saying no quietly to themselves, and then they slowly increase the volume until they're shouting, okay? So this can take some time, just no and no and no until they're really shouting. I have clients who walk around their house and just say no, 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 with all in kind of intonations until they get comfortable saying no. That can be very empowering. Doing other things to empower yourself. Going back to confronting a parent. One of the reasons to confront a parent is to feel empowered, to actually say no to that person. No, that wasn't okay. No, you shouldn't have done that to me. It wasn't okay. No, it wasn't my fault. You know, you can say the no or just have the no inside of you as you talk to that person. And it's a way of validating your own experience. That abuse victims very seldom get validated. You know, the parents deny it. People deny it. They say it didn't happen. Even going to your mother and telling your mother that your father sexually abused you, she's not likely going to believe you. It goes against her perception of who he is, and it would disrupt her life. So she's not even going to validate you. So we need to learn to validate ourselves. And some of these ways of, you know, confronting and doing those things, self-compassion is a real important factor in healing. It's a way to validate your own experience. If you address your own suffering, this is what happened to me, and I felt so-and-so, and then you end up saying things like, I'm sorry that happened to you. That shouldn't have happened to you. No one should have treated you that way. These are the words you should have heard when you were being victimized or after being victimized, but you never did. So now you can say them to yourself. So just addressing your own suffering and validating your own experience is very healing.
Very powerful information. I love what you're saying about validating what you actually experienced. Now, yes. Beverly Engel, in your professional opinion, why is shame such an important emotion to heal?
Well, first of all, because all abuse and neglect victims feel horrendous shame. That's the major reason. And shame will cause us to do all kinds of horrible things to ourselves, from self-mutilation to neglecting our body, to getting involved with people who will shame us more, people who will treat us horribly because we think we deserve it, sabotaging our success. It's something that's really going to affect you so negatively that you absolutely need to work on relieving yourself of it.
And I would add to what you just shared that shame is one of the lowest frequency emotions there is. Mm. Anger and fear are at a higher vibration than shame, right?
Right.
So if somebody who's in a feeling of shame gets angry about what happened, that's actually progress, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, you also mentioned the importance of self-compassion. And I find that people who have been abused, they need a lot of what I call fluffy stuff. They need to learn how to really nurture themselves.
Yes.
What is the role of self-compassion in healing our shame?
Yeah. Well, self-compassion is actually the antidote to shame. Okay. Mm-hmm. It is actually very powerful in healing shame. Again, if we can address our own suffering, if we can feel our own suffering, that is so incredibly healing. I mean, all of us hopefully have had the experience of having somebody else come to us and comfort us. You know, maybe we're physically ill, or maybe we've had a tragedy, we've lost someone, and people have come to comfort us. And if you remember that feeling of people comforting you, maybe just somebody putting their arm around you, somebody bringing you a cup of tea, somebody just saying, why don't you just lie down and rest for a while in a soft, gentle voice. I went to a workshop once and they asked us to talk about the voice that we most remember as in our childhood that we felt was wonderful, that we loved so much. Mm-hmm. And I talked about in The Wizard of Oz, I think it was Glinda the Good Witch. And her voice is, remember, it was trembly. It was like, oh, Beverly, I'm so sorry that happened to you. It was like that voice. That voice touched me. And so it's finding a kind voice to talk to yourself in. Hmm. Talk to yourself in a kind voice the way most people have had at least one experience in their childhood of having a kind person. Not everybody, but most people. So you can think of that person's voice, or you can just create your own kind voice to talk to yourself in and say things like I said, I'm sorry that happened to you. You didn't deserve that. No one deserves to be treated that way. That must have been so scary to be so alone and have nobody there to help you. Talking to yourself in ways that are going to heal you. Victims of trauma very seldom had people giving them compassion. Very few. There's very little compassion, yes, in what you talked about, unhealthy families. Very little compassion going on. There's criticism, there's blame, but there's very little compassion. So learning how to give that to yourself is incredibly healing. And that's what self-compassion is.
Fantastic information. Beverly Engel, author of Put Your Past in the Past. Any final thoughts for our audience?
just to be kind to yourself. And if you're repeating a pattern, if you're either repeating a pattern in a relationship and getting involved with an abusive partner over and over and over, or if you're repeating a pattern of treating yourself poorly, not taking care of yourself, or if you're just treating yourself in abusive ways of any kind, whether it's, you know, drinking too much, taking too many drugs, self-harm, any way that you're harming yourself, if you're doing any of those things, please try to go back and find the trauma that you're reenacting. It's going to free you for the rest of your life. It'll free you from being a victim. It can also free you from being an abuser, but it frees you from the past. If you go back and take care of all those feelings, then that's the title, freeing, you know, you're putting your past in the past instead of dragging along with you.
Thank you for everything that you've contributed today. You've been listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one bestselling author. You can find out more about me at CatherineKerrigan.com and UnlimitedEnergyNow.com. Our guest today, Beverly Engel, is the author of Put Your Past in the Past. And you can find out more about Beverly Engel and her wonderful work at BeverlyEngel.com. And remember, when you're kind to yourself, when you're compassionate to yourself, those are some of the simplest forms of natural healing. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural with the Natural Healing Show.